Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I don't believe in going out and spending a huge amount of money in free agency unless it's something unique. But we found Tom Johnson last year later in the UFA market and did a great job for us coming in as a nickel pass rusher. So we'll monitor the process and then also build in what, you know, which I think is going to be a pretty good group of defensive linemen this draft as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, let me just tell you, number one, you're with Radioactive Sports. Number two, if you're joining us live, you can join, and you can come on down to Tom Reed's because it's Ticket Tuesday, and we're down here with the Minnesota Wild where they will drop the puck against the New Jersey Devils, and look out, everybody. Ben Holson, myself, the superstar Mike Morris, we are here. That was the voice, by the way, of Rick Spielman or Dick Spielberg.
Dick Springsteen?
Springsteen, yeah, whatever you call
him.
Yeah, and so that was him. And
making a big splash already.
Oh, yeah, Tom Johnson.
Minnesota Vikings making a big splash. I don't know if you heard this or not. Sean Hill is our new backup quarterback. They brought back your guy, Joe Berger, on a two-year contract. Sean Hill also on a two-year contract.
Yep.
That's obviously the big news for the Minnesota Vikings today so far as of 2-year contract, yeah. Made 9 starts in 2014. Joe Berger, love to have that guy back, adding veteran depth to the interior of the offensive line.
Not to mention everything else going on as of last night. I mean, Adrian Peterson met out in New York with Spielberg and Mr. Wilf, and so they're having a little 1-to-1, well, 2-on-1 chat out there in New York City where the Wilfs are from.
3-on-1, including Dick Springsteen.
Oh, Dick Springsteen?
Both Wilfs, Mark and Ziggy, because obviously we all know that Ziggy can't speak very well, so Mark has to do the talking.
That's probably true.
Ziggy writes the checks.
Uh-oh. And Mr. Reed himself, the best dressed man in St. Paul, walks by with two more tickets.
What do I owe you for this?
What the hell?
By the way, we have two pairs of tickets to the Minnesota Wild game tonight against the New Jersey Devils, thanks to Tom Reed. That's where we are, Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub on 7th Street. Come on by, say you heard it on the radio, say you heard it on the Radioactive Sports, and sign up, and we'll give those away probably about 6:30 tonight.
And these are pretty good seats.
Let me see.
What do you think of that? There's the price tag.
Dang.
And there's, how about that? Row 19.
Section 126, row 19, seat 1 and 2. We've got more where that came from.
Son of a.
If you're listening and you want to go to the Wild game tonight, pretty good chance you'll get these. Just say you heard it on the radio. Come down here, sign up. We'll give these babies away at 6:30.
Yeah, get your ass on down here. My gosh, but man, it's Christmas Day for the NFL. If you're looking to spend some cash, pick up a great player with some equity. And Dominican Sue. I haven't heard his deal actually ring true yet, but I'll tell you what, when Haloti Ngata has been signed and sealed with the Lions, I think that, you know, Mr. Sue has to take off and go do something because they have another guy in town already. But the big one for me, and just stop me if I'm wrong on this, but Jimmy Graham.
Oh, dang.
Going to the Seahawks. Like, the Seahawks need another player. Well, they lost Maxwell, didn't they? Damn it. That's a good team, too. But anyway, Unger goes from Seattle. To the Saints, and some draft choices, obviously.
First-round draft pick, I want to say.
He's worth it, too. Jimmy's worth it. Yeah. I mean, that is one of the best weapons in the National Football League lineup. He's 700 pounds. He's faster than Adrian Peterson. He's like Superman. God bless him. He can play wide receiver, and he plays tight end. I don't know. He deserves to go to a team like Seattle.
Yes, of course he does.
He's a good kid.
He got job basically last year in New Orleans. What did he play? Was it 75% of the time he lined up as a wide receiver, but they wanted
mid-60s, yeah.
They franchised him as a tight end. Which is a huge pay difference.
Big.
Unbelievable. So. And a bunch of other news, too. Of course, the big trade. The St. Louis Rams have traded Sam Bradford to the Philadelphia Eagles.
So that's a done deal now.
For Nick Foles. If I'm the St. Louis Rams, I think I got the better end of that deal. Sam Bradford makes a ton of money, is constantly injured.
Hasn't played it down.
However, the Philadelphia Eagles, too, depending on what they plan on doing, which the rumors obviously are that they want Marcus Mariota, and if he's there at number 6 when the New York Jets draft, they'll trade. Supposedly they might have some sort of under-the-table trade already worked out, and maybe Sam Bradford will be that guy that can come in and be that veteran leader, almost like a Matt Cassel was here for us.
No question.
As we wait for Teddy Bridgewater. Of course, the fact that if they get Marcus Mariota, if they don't get Mariota, they have Sam Bradford as their starting quarterback, and then you're kind of stuck with Well, what do you
now? What
are
you doing? What are you doing? That's kind of where they've been the last
Nick
couple
Foles
of years.
Is pretty good.
He was a good quarterback. I mean, when I almost said Matt Leinart. I just about did. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Mark Sanchez went to the Jets, and he used to play for the Eagles. No, he's with the Eagles now. He used to play for the Jets. Well, you know what? He re-signed also with the Eagles.
That's right. What are they doing
that's
collecting
what I'm
quarterbacks?
I'm trying to figure out what that is.
Sam Bradford's making a ton of money. He was one of the last guys, the first overall draft pick, when they got paid massive money.
Yep.
They paid, I want to say, Mark Sanchez $7 or $8 million a year for a 2-year deal.
A lot of money. They re-signed him.
Yeah.
I think today.
No, I want to say it was a couple of days ago, but you're right.
It was announced today, of course, but because they couldn't sign it officially until today, but you're right.
So what are they doing?
I would say that Philadelphia's going to line them up and say to the best man, go ahead and get yourself some reps and see who comes out on top. It is good to bring in competition like that. I think Sanchez is the lone man out in this one. I love Bradford when he's healthy. I really do. I think he's a great quarterback.
But he's never been
healthy.
He's
never been healthy, though, and that's the issue. But you
it
take
makes
a,
so
a look
much
at some
money.
Of the, and Nick Foles, they had someone right in their own backyard, and they traded Nick Foles.
Oftentimes I wonder, and we've talked about this several times already this week, what the heck is Chip Kelly doing out there? And they have total faith in him. He has total control of the
Frank
football operations.
Frank Gore took off and left. He said, wait, wait. They have what kind of practice here?
And he said that Jeremy Macklin's not going to be here anymore.
Oh.
I'm going to go.
Yeah. And so anyway, that runs a lot of people off. When you tell an older player, a veteran player, that, oh, he's got to return to a college way of doing things and work every single day in practice. And, I mean, Kelly's into him pretty good. I mean, that's what the word is. So, I mean, you have to, that's a full day of practice, just like you were in college. And I'll tell you what, Gore is not looking, he was not looking at that as being something he'd want to do. So he headed on down to Indianapolis because you can only put pads on so many days in the NFL now. It used to be they could do it whatever they wanted and however long they wanted to do it. Now they can't do that anymore with the collective bargaining agreement the way it is, but it doesn't say anything about how much they condition or run you. It's just how many days you can hit. But the rest of the days are a real quick pace, I guess. It's like a track meet around there.
One of the guys that I had kind of eyed as a potential free agent signing for the Minnesota Vikings, I think you and I had talked about it, Buster Skrine from the Cleveland Browns. A little guy.
Yep.
He is joining the Jets now on a 4-year, $25 million deal, $13 million guaranteed. I want to say his name is it Chris Culliver from the San Francisco 49ers?
Yes.
The Minnesota Vikings have made an attempt to contact him. They're in... I wouldn't say that they're in contract negotiations. They're still trying to push hard for Clint Bowling, that left guard from the Cincinnati Bengals. When it comes to other guys, Rick Spielman, what he said is true. He's going to sit back and wait and wait for prices to drop on some certain guys that they're looking at, but they're obviously looking at linebackers and cornerbacks outside of the Clint Bowling left guard situation. Obviously, Stephen Ridley, too. We heard about that this morning.
Ridley's a big name, being thrown around by the Vikings.
But he didn't play much of last season. He was against the Vikings at TCF Bank Stadium the second game of the season, but he, I want to say, blew up his ACL or something like that.
So ACL, MCL, both.
Oh, God.
So he only played six games last year. He amassed 340 yards. He had two touchdowns, and then he went out with the MCL, the ACL, MCL. But they liked him there in New England. Now, New England, on the other hand, you see how they play the game, too. They don't do much. They re-signed one of their players. McCourty got re-signed.
Mm-hmm.
But they just kind of let things fall the way they may, and they rely on their system and their coaching and the way they've done things around there for a long, long time with Belichick to make up for it.
They're about to lose both cornerbacks.
Yeah.
We still haven't heard any news on Darrell Revis, who became a free agent at 3 o'clock this afternoon, likely heading back to the New York Jets.
Yep.
Although the New England Patriots have said they will make one final push once they hear the final number from the Jets. And Brandon Browner, who refused to take a pay cut, was going to pick up. They were going to do that, so he becomes a free agent as well, Brandon Browner. So they're two starting cornerbacks in the Super Bowl as of last year. Sayonara, suckers.
It's unbelievable what's happening. How about Maxwell? Brian Maxwell going from the Seattle Seahawks to the Eagles.
Yeah, they're stacking up players there.
They are. They're really trying to make a wave out there, and it's working. How about Julius Thomas, the great
Jaguars.
One from Denver, the Jags?
Well, his career is about to die.
Yeah, well, either that or he's going to be part of the solution with
maybe
that new quarterback.
Maybe.
But I still am. I'm trying to wrap my head around Jimmy Graham going to Seattle for a center and some draft choices. I mean, good Lord, are you kidding?
Well, the New Orleans Saints are in such cap hell right now.
They are.
They need to do something to get under the cap. I mean, they're over the cap already. The league you just started, they're over the cap.
It's a wreck. It's a train wreck. Sue, I haven't heard yet. I haven't seen any confirmation. We expect him to go with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it's a done deal. $114 million, 6 years.
They finally did it. They finally pulled the string on that one. Some smaller names. Brian Hartline decided he would go to Cleveland with the Browns.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Brian Hoyer lands with the Texans. Mike Iupati, the guy that I liked so much. We were catering to him for a while. We were in touch with him, but he signed with the Cardinals today. So the great one from San Francisco heads down to the desert. He'll take place, he'll take part in one of the better offenses, I think, up and coming right now. Depends on how the quarterback issue.
Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer with the ACL.
And what happens if they get a certain number 28, Adrian Peterson, who I, by the way, and we're going to talk about this the rest of the day. We got to take a break here and get to our guy, Tom Reed. But I think Adrian Peterson's staying. He had a meeting last night in New York with the Wills and Rick Spielman. I think that they're telling him, hey, man, here's the deal. As of Sean Clayton, you know, the guy with the little head in ESPN.
And the ponytail.
Yeah. He said that best case scenario on the trading market, you'll get a fourth round draft pick for Adrian Peterson.
Right. That's not enough.
He is much worth so much more to the Minnesota Vikings than anything they could get on the open market. Just swallow the pill. You may have to restructure Chad Greenway and Greg Jennings, which I think that they probably want to do anyway. Swallow the pill. $12.75 million. Adrian Peterson, you have the best running back in the league. Hasn't played for a year. He's going to be back with the Minnesota Vikings, I think. And I know you disagree with me.
No, you know what? It's really not that I disagree. Because you have probably as good an angle at saying something like that as I do. With him going out there to meet, I'm sure, with his agent. Let's hope. Of course, he's probably the kind of guy, Adrian, that probably wants to go out and talk for himself and handle it on his own.
No, you're right.
But here's, if they came out there and had to sit down with Dogra and Adrian and say, look, you said you'd restructure your contract so that we could get something fair in return. What are those numbers? What is your contract? And how can we do this? Because we want to move today on something, you know, before the pickings get picked. And I think that maybe it could be one of that, or, you know, we're going to give you this year, and but we're going to talk about those last 2 years on the contract.
Oh, I'm sure that's probably what it is, too. And if Adrian Peterson goes, I want such and such more money to prove, so you prove that you really want me back and you prove that you really love me, well, then what about that $8.5 million we paid you last year for not playing?
That's what I think.
You were suspended for the final six games of the NFL season. You had to pay $4.1 million. You had to pay it back because you're on the commissioner's exempt list. That's not our fault. You're the one that got in trouble and had to go to court obviously was on the commissioner's exempt list and then suspended basically indefinitely until April 15th. That obviously overturned by the federal judge here in Minneapolis, Judge David Doty. But what about that $8.5 million we paid you last year for not doing anything? How about you? That goes towards the... Yeah. So basically you'll be making $20 million this year.
It'd be a pretty good year, wouldn't it? But he has to come down. I think there probably has to be some stipulation and some understandings that if he were to get in some kind of trouble regarding any of this other stuff, that has taken place, you know, away from the field. And I'm not just talking about the child abuse thing. We're talking about other issues that may come up that are still pending. Or if he breaks probation somehow, one of the measures they have him doing, that contract has to come back significantly if he continues to drop the ball, no pun intended. You have to have an understanding with him. Like, are you done being this guy? Because we want this guy that we thought you were again. Mm-hmm. We don't want that guy. I really believe like they're going to have a really deep conversation with him and an understanding that he cannot misstep again.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Vikings also re-signed swing tackle Mike Harris today. Looks like they're letting go Dom DeChicco.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Looks like they're letting go Dom DeChicco, which is Bob Sansevier's favorite guy, and then Josh Samuda, that was another guard they let go.
They kept Vlad around, huh?
They haven't re-signed Vlad as of yet.
Okay.
Jake Locker retiring today after 4 years in the NFL. Remember when the quarterback class, when Christian Ponder came in, was Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, all three of them top 12 picks in the 2011 draft?
Oh, yeah.
Jake Locker retiring today after 4 years.
Done deal. Well, maybe he's going into minor league baseball. Who knows? Let's take a little break right now. But first I should tell you that Ticket Tuesday down here at Tom Reed's is presented by Rogoszewski, Rogoszewski and Atkins. Before you blow, call Rogo, and we are down here. We will talk with Mr. Tom Reed, the best-dressed man in St. Paul, right after this break.
You always play your best hockey when I think when you're having fun and you got a clear mind. I think that's what we've been seeing the last little month, that we're having fun and we're enjoying it and we're winning because of it.
Here we are again. Find ourselves down at Tom Reed's because every time the Minnesota Wild play here in town, right across the street from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, we also are here with the ticket. 105 the ticket.
And speaking of tickets, Tom Reed very graciously gave us two pair to tonight's game. Tell us you heard it. Come down here. Tell us you heard it on the radio. Sign up. We'll give those babies away up around 6:30. Some really, really nice seats for
nice
the big
seats.
Man on campus.
Get down here, register, and be here for the drawing, and must be present to win. Let's put it that way. And then you can head across the street, see a heck of a scrum down, a nice little scrimmage. The Minnesota Wild take on the New Jersey Devils. So it's a... It's one of those. Every game's a big game, and Tom Reed joins us now. But I mean, it's been a press situation from about from the All-Star break until now, and they've done everything they possibly could do to get here. Things didn't go so well the other night, but it was a hiccup, I think. And I want your opinion, though. That means the most to us.
Well, it was a hiccup. I mean, they did not level of play. I don't believe in that game, but it's been such a long stretch, and they've had a lot of games going on, and that one game is not going to change your season, I don't believe. But hopefully tonight will be a different story against New Jersey. But even Mike Yo was talking, in fact, I think they had like 35 different chances that they missed on hitting the net, or else the shots were blocked, and that was double what the other team had. So they just weren't as sharp as they normally are, but you have to give Colorado credit also. I mean, Minnesota played them five times this year, won four of them, had given up, just one goal in the previous four and scoring 12. And the other night they almost came back in that third period again, but they were just one shot short.
Yeah, no kidding. It almost looked like as if they were tired on Sunday. They were coming off basically, like you said, they've been on a tough run. They had that the scrum at the end of the game the week before against Colorado and Denver, and then they come here in 43 seconds cloud rain. You thought it was going to be one of those chippy games right off the bat, and then it was actually kind of mundane after that. Your thoughts on the game against the Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah, you mentioned about being tired. I think they were tired. Not so much from the physical side of it as maybe the mental side, because they've had so many games going on, and you get a little bit tired with the travel and everything else after a while. They came back in, and I think that was a good in preparation for this game here tonight. They've got a real tough stretch coming up now. They've got, Anaheim's going to be here on Thursday, then they're in St. Louis on Saturday in Nashville. I mean, so it doesn't get any easier, and if you're going to be in the playoffs, you've got to beat the big clubs, and those are three of the big clubs that they're going to face. So we'll see how it goes here tonight. But the game in Colorado, that's behind them right now. And Dubnyk, I thought, that was the first time. I think he's given up two goals or less in 18 of his 23 games. In that game, he gave up three. And hard to fault him. And wouldn't you know it, after the fight with McLeod, he would get the first goal of the
first
game
goal.
Also. And it was a good deflection. Just one of those lucky deflections. But he was in the right place at the right time to make it work.
And Landeskog got a goal, too, I think, as well, after punching Mikko Koivu in the face from the bench the week before.
Dubnyk, he said he's mentally okay. He's not mentally tired, but that lends itself to being physically tired. When asked, how he was
mentally
feeling.
I'm fine, I think.
Mentally,
is
I'm fine.
Quote.
And so it's...
And I think that goes a long way to him being physically fine, too. I mean, if you're mentally tired, then you're physically tired, in my mind. You're not prepared.
Can you be mentally, as a goalie, mentally
I've
fine?
Never been a goalie.
Well, of course.
Well, I know.
Why am I asking you?
You stop all my
why
shots.
Why would I be asking? Yeah.
Ask the guys up the street.
maybe someone up the street would know. Go up there and ask him. You did last
God.
Week.
It's never going to die.
Yeah, that's an inside joke there, everybody. But we'll explain later when we're not here. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's... him saying, I'm not, I still know what I'm doing. The game is still there. I still feel sharp mentally, but maybe my body isn't going where my brain's telling it to go. The reactional things that goaltending must require.
Yeah, he had the day off yesterday. It was an optional practice. He elected to take it off along with Suter, along with Charlie Coyle. They did not skate yesterday, and sometimes you just need to get a break away from it. You know, all that's going on, especially with a guy like him and the other guys who came here recently, there's family to take care of and get settled in and just get acclimated to the surroundings you're in right now. But after tonight, he'll play tonight, and then I would, unless something drastic happens, I would expect to see him start the first of the back-to-back coming up here on Friday and Saturday. But you got 2 days off in between, too. And one day will be a full day off for everyone, which that would be tomorrow. And then they'll practice Thursday. And they're working with him. I mean, they're giving him the rest he needs so that he is sharp going into the contest.
No, I'd imagine that they're talking to him all the time, too, with Mason and Yo saying, how do you feel? How's it going? The media talked to him this morning during morning skates, saying, and he ended up saying, you know, even though his body does get tired because he's been playing every game since he was traded here from Phoenix, he mentally he's fine. And since because it's so exciting and so because it's so fun in the run that they're on right now, he gets up for those games. And so even if he is a little bit tired in the body, he's good to go and he wants to play.
Yeah, we talk about being tired. I go back to, and I know I'm going back to the old, you know, the 60s and the, you know, 50s, 67. Glenn Hall, 502 consecutive games for the Chicago Blackhawks. The travel wasn't near as easy as it is today. The food was not near as good nutritionally for the players as is today. The equipment wasn't near as good. But 502.
But players are much softer nowadays than they were back then, don't you think? I mean, even looking back at baseball and football, I mean, even just regular people in the world.
Ben, I don't think they're softer. I think, man, they're more finely tuned. They're almost like a piano wire. And if you pull that wire a little bit too tight, that's where you get those problems. We had a little bit more of a cushion. All right, so I don't think they're any softer today. I think their standards and what's expected is much higher today than it was back then.
Sure.
And so we played with injuries. I mean, you broke your jaw, doesn't matter. You can still skate. You know, you have a broken something nose, doesn't matter. You can still skate. That was the rule. I mean, that was the, you know what, if it doesn't affect your legs and you can skate, you can play.
And I think that's it. I think that's what you were maybe saying was that, you know, it's, you know, these guys aren't as tough as they used to be. It was a state of mind that you were going to play the next week if you were able to skate, as you said, Tom. I mean, you're going to play, so just put it in your head. You're going to play. There's not an option to not play. In today's game, even though they're physically incredibly fit and, you know, everything's fine-tuned, the food is there, the lifting is there, everything else, they've got everything figured out. It's down to a science now. The travel, the food on the road. But they're not as tough. They're not just the mindset. I don't know if the mindset for the long run and to not take rest days is what it was when you played. I mean, it was a bag of ice, and you're lining up next week.
What I was going to say, Zach Parise is a throwback to your time when you played.
Absolutely. That's the
rest
toughest.
Of the guys are not like
edge.
That. And that's kind of what I'm comparing and contrasting.
I don't think you can take the whole league and say they're not like that.
Well, I don't want to say that.
The players today, they're much smarter, all right? They have more players on a team. We only had 19 players when I played. That's what we had. We didn't carry a lot of extra players. We may have one extra player, maybe two at the most, but now they carry 23 healthy players.
Yep.
The rules are a little bit different, but we were... you were afraid in those days that if you got hurt, that you would be... You'd be out of the lineup, and you may not get your job back.
Sure.
So you played. I mean, I broke my jaw. I broke the jaw in two places, the cheekbone, the orbital bone, got hit with a shot, and, you know, all the... I missed one game. I was wired, and I went from, like, 204 pounds to 183 pounds.
Jeez.
But you had to play because they expected you that your legs were still working, and they were.
Yeah, but you're a big bad man on campus, though.
Oh, yeah.
You're
yeah.
Tom Reed. We're at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, by the way. Talking to Tom Reed. Tonight's game against the New Jersey Devils, Minnesota Wild, facing off at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on FSN. Tom, you'd mentioned some of the newer players, and it seems like every Tuesday the last couple of weeks we'd come here. The Minnesota Wild made a trade. Obviously, last week they brought in Chris Stewart and Jordan Leopold. The week before that, Sean Bergenheim. How are those guys fitting in? As I'm hearing a little bit that Sean Bergenheim's not doing as hot as the other two may be.
Well, one of the problems you have is if you look at the league, most of the teams play within 90% of how they play. It's the other 10%, the little things that make the difference. And I think that coming to a new team and not having adequate practice time is a little more difficult.
Sure.
So what's happening now is that these guys are into it, but they're trying to learn on the fly, and it's difficult when you don't have those practice sessions because there's not enough time in between. And even like this morning, it's a morning skate, it's not a regular practice, so it's important. And yesterday was a optional day, so you're not getting that practice time where you can learn the little, you know, little detail stuff that you need. And so hopefully, you know, that will change. And Bergenheim, he said he was really good the first game. He's backed off a little bit. I thought Stewart has been fine. Probably his best game was the last game. And Leopold, you know, he's a guy who will probably be a seventh defenseman, but he fills that bill, that he gives a little more depth. So I think he'll be fine also. He's got the experience as an old pro, and he's back in his hometown, so hopefully that'll be a plus for him.
down here, Tom Reed's time real quick. How do you think they do tonight? How do you think they'll rebound from the loss the other night? And where do you think this is going to go?
Look, they weren't going to win every game down the stretch. They know that, but they have to be mentally and physically prepared for this one. I watched them this morning. They were skating hard. I mean, they've got a couple of line combination changes we're going to see tonight. Probably, but for the most part, they should be fine.
Tom Reed, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks,
guys, for having us down. The food is fabulous. I can stop down here. Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, a great place to stop before one of your games or any event. Not just the Wild, but anytime you're in town, stop off here. It's a great place. The great aura, great vibe. If you're a hockey fan, come in here and just take a look at this place inside. We're going to come back with a 4.5 questions at 4:30. Again, I should also remind you that we are brought to you by Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski, and Atkins. So when you do come back, Ben Holston is going to ask me 4 questions and sort of an abbreviated version of one, and then I'll give him a one-word association answer. We'll do that next.
Mentally, I'm good. I mean, it's been so much fun. It's been a crazy ride, and obviously winning games and the great feeling we've had in the dressing room, it gives you that boost of energy. And, you know, when you can enter every single game feeling like you're going to win the game, it's easy to grab that energy, even if maybe you're feeling not so much like it that day. But it's easy to get up for them, so mentally, I'm fine.
Mentally, he's fine.
You got to love it. Dubnyk, he's fine.
Doobie-doo.
What do they say about the great running backs? When they get tired or they get a little older, they lose that second step. Their eyes are still good. Their vision is still really good. I have to think that's probably the same thing for a goaltender. Because they see shots, they know how to defend it, but their body doesn't get there. Running backs lose that step. They can't get to where their head and their mind and their vision want them to go anymore. They have to retire, Adrian. So anyway, 4.5 questions. 4.5 questions. What is the half all? So we find ourselves back at Tom Reed's. I don't know where Ben Holston went. I had to drop everything and go find him. He just got up and ran down the street.
Well,
I have finally fetched him. I don't know where.
I was trying to go get us some tickets
for
tonight's
amazing.
Game.
It's amazing. And you came back with 2 pair of tickets, nice tickets. So whatever you did, it was worth it. And I'm glad I found you because we can't keep having this from you.
You miss me. It's fine.
You're irresponsible. What was your question anyway?
2 pairs of tickets. Come down here. Say you heard it on the radio. Sign up. We're giving away at 6:30 tonight. Unbelievable tickets. One's lower level. One's mid level. Thanks to Tom Reed and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub where we are. But I was talking.
Why don't you just keep everything on the level?
No, hey.
Keep it level.
I was just talking about Wild goalie Devan Dubnyk.
Yep.
Said mentally he's fine. Does that mean physically he's tired?
I think it does. I think if you read into it. I honestly believe that he said, and he refined it for us, when asked, how do you feel, he said, I'm mentally fine. That means he's not.
But then he also
he's tired.
Said,
he's
then,
t- no, he's tired. He's physically, I think his body, he's got dead legs. In football, we call them dead legs. And that's when you've just gone through practice after practice after practice in training camp, and you're trying to line up for these exhibition games, or you're trying to get ready for the first season game, regular season game, and your legs are dead from training camp still, so they'll give you some extra time to recuperate your legs. I think everyone knows where they're supposed to be on the field at that point, but your body just can't get there.
Well, bastard.
I think you
forgot. I wish you would know your
games. It's an amazing thing how you didn't play along with my analogy, the football part. Stooge.
I don't even
know. Anyway, what's the second question?
Second question. Are you ready for this? Bleacher Report, our favorite app.
If you don't leave the place again.
It has ranked the Minnesota Twins as the most underrated lineup in all of Major League Baseball this season. The Twins returned the bulk of their lineup, one of baseball's most productive last year. They ranked 5th in on-base percentage, 7th in runs scored, 11th in slugging percentage, 2nd in drawing walks. If they can maintain those numbers, or even improve with a much-improved bullpen and starting rotation, on paper, by the way, tell me why the Twins don't have a shot at winning the AL Central this season.
I wouldn't have a reason if they do that. I wouldn't have a reason to tell you that they couldn't, because I think with along with what Al Newman told us yesterday when he joined the show, that, you know, this is a better team. This is a better team than there was last year, and I think that there are some added pieces that are going to make a big difference to this. New coaches, new players, new attitude, and, I think that he was talking about the new starting rotation. And some of the people that are going to be. And Sano, did you see Sano crack one yesterday? Yeah. Just cracked one.
We'll play the audio coming up at 6 o'clock with our Cold Omaha guys. But out over the center field fence and way past the boardwalk behind. He thought.
He hit the hell out of that.
After the game, Miguel Sano said he thought it was a pop-up. But it just kept going.
It was a pop-up. Well, you know, when that kid picks up a ball bat, he knows how to use it. Son of a gun. I said ball bad.
I know you did.
But I like our chances to go 500, maybe even a little better.
All right, question three. The Timberwolves lost to the... You want to put $1,300 on that?
I will place $1,300 on
really?
That. Yeah. I have a hunch.
Let's bet on
there
that.
There it is right there.
Oh, wow.
Well...
I think they'll be right around
1,300.
I think they'll be right around 500.
Ooh, so what does that mean?
But I think they might be underneath. So I'll take the under. Question three: the Timberwolves lost to the Clippers way late last night. Play though his replacement Adrian Payne, who we both love, grabbed 15 rebounds, scored 16 points. Two questions: at the end of the game, Staples Center fans were cheering, "We want KG, we want KG." Is KG as beloved across the league like he is back home here with the Timberwolves? And is Adrian Payne the real deal? Like I said, you and I both love that kid.
He's explosive. He's got a little attitude, plays with some edge. We saw him rebound a basketball against Washington and just went straight back up with it, two-hand slam under the rim with everyone hanging on his back. And for me, that was a statement. I mean, that's kind of this, here I am, I'm the new guy here, and I just did that. So it was kind of a cool thing. And if people on this team, the young guys, pick up on what Kevin Garnett is all about, that intensity and that edge, and you know, don't respect the other team so much that you decide to be courteous or polite about things. Go out there with an edge and put it in their face and let them know that you're a ball player, and you know, let the chips fall where they may. And I think that we're seeing that already from Garnett's influence on these young guys.
Yeah, and Adrian Payne only played three games with the Atlanta Hawks, a lot of games down in the D League, but since coming here, he's just, when I say dirty, he's not taking cheap shots, but he's just a little gritty. I feel so bad for him. He's, I want to say, 21, 22, is a very young guy, has smaller than normal lung capacity, and from one bald guy to the next bald guy, he is prematurely balding. I don't think I was balding that badly at that age, and I was balding pretty early. I remember balding at the University of Minnesota when I was living in the dorms. I at least had some hair. That man's got some problems.
I know one thing. He jumps way higher than you.
Oh, yeah, he sure does.
He jumps way better.
What about this Kevin Garnett question? You completely skirted that.
No, I was waiting for you to get finished, really. were you finished yet about your hair?
What a jerk.
I think he's beloved all over the league. I think that he's also considered pretty fiery, and then some people probably wouldn't want him team-wise. But I think as far as the fanfare goes, I think he's pretty well-received anywhere he goes. You know, he makes his A home. One of his homes was in California for a long time in the L.A. area. Mm-hmm. I know that. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt if he's someone that they would love to see come out there. I don't think he's going anywhere now. I think we've seen him light in the right spot where he wants to be, and I think in the future may have a different role here in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Seriously, you talk too often. The Gopher men's basketball team, question four, begins their run at the Big Ten Championship tomorrow when they play Rutgers in Chicago. The Gophers are ranked 11th, Rutgers ranked 14th. What are the chances the very disappointing Gophers get bounced in the first round? Seriously.
They begin their NCAA Big Ten run, you say, to the tournament.
Yeah.
First of five. If they win them all, they go to the tournament. I think there's a pretty good chance they could get bounced. I mean, are you
against
kidding?
Rutgers?
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was our first Big Ten win, Rutgers, the Scarlet Knights, but I don't know.
I think we have a public execution if that happens.
Okay, so what chance do they have? I say there's a good chance. I don't even know what that means, but I'd say 50-50.
I think they beat Rutgers, for God's sakes.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
This just in, we're going to talk about all kinds of NFL free agency, by the way, coming up here next. According to NFL Network, the rich get richer. There's a pretty good chance former Minnesota Viking Percy Harvin will sign with the...
Let's see. Who would bring that problem child in? The Raiders.
No.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, they have a knack for doing that kind of thing. They take a problem child like Percy Harvin, and I'm watching it up on TV right now, as a matter of fact. Jets release wide receiver Percy Harvin.
Saving $10.5 million in cap space.
Who knows? He's a fabulous football player. When he's out there, when he's not griping, when he's not becoming an issue in the locker room or with the coaches, he's a great player, no question about
it. Thank God the Bengals signed A.J. Hawk. That means he is not coming to the Minnesota Vikings. Woo! Play the Helga horn for me, please. I'm doing a little dance, making a little love, getting down tonight.
Yeah, you think he ain't?
I think he is.
I don't know. I just think Percy Harvin, by the way, he's on his last straw. I don't think too many people are going to give him too many more chances. That would be the waste of a really good football player, but he's an issue. I don't even know what it is exactly. What is the last half of a question you have?
Oh, the half question.
Yeah, the half question.
I do have a halfie right now.
Oh, you do? Well.
It's unfortunate.
I want to go to the bathroom and take
so far, I asked you the same thing, but so far what the Minnesota Vikings have done, there was a checklist of 10 things we went over yesterday that we thought the Minnesota Vikings should go after in free agency.
Yes.
So far out of that checklist of 10, we've accomplished four. Got a backup quarterback, Sean Hill, two-year contract.
Bang.
Re-sign Joe Berger.
Bang.
Two-year contract. Inside lineman, offensive lineman depth and veteran leadership. Tom Johnson, we brought him back as well.
Nice move. Same agent, I think.
Yes. What was the fourth one?
I wish I knew what the fourth one was.
I think it was long snapper, and we brought him
back.
Oh, brought
Cohen. You didn't have that down yesterday.
No, I didn't have that down yesterday.
But, yeah, we did bring a Johnson, Berger back, and Sean Hill. Addressed, I don't know. They brought that.
We brought him back as well. One-year contract. Very heavily incentive laden. But
under $1 million, but for a guy like that, he's been around for 4 years. This will be his fourth year with the Vikings, and he made $570,000, so... When Adrian went away, he very much came to the forefront and did a pretty good job running the football, especially in goal line situations. But
good pass protector, good pass catcher,
yes, he is.
Which is where he really excelled.
He is. So he'll make his money this time.
We'll go over that checklist of 10, what the Vikings have done, what it means, what they're working on, plus all the other free agency news. It is a gangbuster, trades and big names moving from here. I mean, the biggest one I would say is Jimmy Graham going to the Seattle Seahawks for a first-round draft pick and their center, Max Unger.
Yeah.
Plenty more moves like that, and we'll be all over that bid-nass.
And we're being brought to you by Rogacheski and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. So before you blow, call Rogo. We're at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub and in St. Paul, where the Wild will take on the New Jersey Devils. Come on back. Join us next.
Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We've already got the personnel calendar laid out. What we have to do to get ready for the draft, what we have to do to get ready for free agency, and everybody's on the same page, and we're back at it, getting ready to add to what we were already able to add from last year, and hopefully continue to build this football team.
We are back. It is... Ticket Tuesday.
Oh, that's right, it is.
We are Radioactive Sports. We are Ben Holson and the superstar Mike Morris, and we are at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, brought to you by Rogacheski and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. So before you blow, call Rogo. Make sure you do.
Please do.
And what do we have? I mean, we've got so many things to go over with the free agency market right now. The big splash, a way, way bigger splash, I think, this year than recent years, in some of the players that are moving on to different teams. I never expected this kind of movement.
Oh, especially not the trades. The trades that just exploded. Jimmy Graham going to the Seattle Seahawks from the New Orleans Saints. The Seahawks sending a first-round draft pick this year, and then center Max Unger, who's been a Pro Bowl player. Let's see here. Sam Bradford is going to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for Nick Foles. Sam Bradford and a couple of draft picks heading to Philadelphia. Philadelphia also re-signed Mark Sanchez to a two-year contract worth, I want to say, $16 million. Haloti Ngata got traded to the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions lost Ndamukong Suh today to the Miami Dolphins. 6 years, $114 million. I say second best defensive tackle in the game, Haloti Ngata.
Probably so.
He's at least a top five guy.
Burke used to say, and he still continues to tell me on text that Haloti Ngata is unblockable. He's unblockable. You just have to account for him with two guys. You can't do it singled up. So it's he is absolutely at the top of his game still. We also have Julius Thomas.
Oh yeah,
the great one from Denver. He moves on to the to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Is his career going
to
go away? Because was he really great because of Peyton Manning?
Well, I think Peyton made everyone really good, really quick when he got there.
But even Eric Decker, dare I say it? I know
Decker's
he's a Minnesota
well.
Guy,
well.
But he goes to the New York Jets and nothing happens.
He kind of disappeared, didn't he? I definitely think everyone's game picked up quite a bit when Peyton Manning showed up. We have Brian Hoyer also moving today to the Texans. He signed there. Oh, Brian Maxwell. How about that? From the Seattle Seahawks. He lands with the Eagles. The Eagles making a lot of splash. Ndamukong Suh, you already mentioned him. Mike Iupati, the great guard. I shouldn't say great. He was a very good guard for the San Francisco 49ers.
Pretty good.
He lands with the Arizona Cardinals. So it's a, you know, they're the Philadelphia Eagles. He said, no, wait, I've been talking to some of the guys here about
Veteran free agents being wary of signing with the Philadelphia Eagles because of the way Chip Kelly moves people out. I mean, you've seen LeSean McCoy, DeShaun Jackson, even Jeremy Maclin. No longer. I mean, three biggest, the big gone.
We're in with the
Kansas City Chiefs. 651-989-9105. That's our phone number. We'd love to talk NFL free agency with you. We'll get into the Minnesota Vikings in depth of what they still need to do. Obviously, they've signed Sean Hill, backup quarterback for Teddy Bridgewater, Joe Berger, Tom Johnson, Matt Asiata, Cullen Leffler. Those are the guys they've re-signed. They haven't made a splash and gone out and signed any other as of yet. That could happen any minute now, any day now. Obviously, we'll be right here with the breaking news once it does happen. But you're welcome to call in, 651-989-9105, just like Warren did from Tampa. Warren from Tampa.
Wow.
You're on 105 The Ticket, my man. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Can you hear me okay?
Really good. How are things down in Tampa?
Oh, beautiful. I've been down here all winter, but I'm really surprised that the Vikings haven't taken a shot at I think Douglas got signed today, and I think that would have really been a nice fit for the Vikings. But Cecil Shorts is still out there, and Eddie Royal. Have the Vikings done any talking about possibly signing? Those guys are under 30, I believe, and they've been very productive. I know Shorts has had a little injury record, but he was the best at Jacksonville and for the years that he was there. And Eddie Royal has just been playing phenomenal down in San Diego. And I don't think the money on those two would be that much. Is that something the Vikes are going to try to do yet and try to get a veteran receiver along with maybe a upper one in the draft? Have you heard anything on that?
You know, we're always asking that question almost on a daily basis as we approach the draft. But you know, the wide receiver thing does not come up that often. I mean, the names in the college ranks do because it's a great year, again, for wide receivers in the college ranks. So the draft, anything can happen if that kind of player falls to you at number 11. But, you know, it hasn't been really a point that they've made over and over again the way they have other positions on the field, and the ones that they're trying to address right now in veteran free agency. You know, you have to look at our lineup right now with Jarius Wright and with Greg Jennings and with Cordarrelle Patterson. You have to include that. The new addition of Charles Johnson to the lineup, I think, makes a big difference, and maybe that's why they're not really aggressive with doing anything right now with the veteran free agency, is that Charles Johnson showed up on the scene late and turned out to be a ball player. So I don't know, and Thielen, you could add Thielen and whatever else you want to do, but I think we're in decent shape and looking at a good position in the draft.
I do too, and I don't think that necessarily, Warren, thanks for the call from Tampa, by the way. I don't think that the Minnesota Vikings have deemed the wide receiver position a priority like most of the mock drafters and all the national media has. I think they're fine with the fact that it's funny that we bring up Adam Thielen, because you look at him on paper and you're like, why would the Minnesota Vikings rely on that guy? He's a Mike Zimmer type player. He goes and busts his balls out there on the practice field. He's an overachiever. He adds a lot on special teams, and I think that the Minnesota Vikings are okay. That they're hoping Cordarrelle Patterson will take a step forward. I think they're prepared for the fact that if he doesn't do that, they like Greg Jennings because he's that steady veteran leadership, whether it be helping out Charles Johnson and Jarius Wright, Cordarrelle Patterson, plus helping out and giving that security blanket to Teddy Bridgewater. I really think the Minnesota Vikings, that's not a weakness on our team. And if one of the big three, well, I would really say big two, maybe even White or Cooper fall to us at number 11, that's going to make the Vikings think a little bit, I think, in the NFL draft, which is coming up at the end of April and early May. Otherwise, they're focusing on linebackers and cornerbacks and offensive line. And I think those are the weaknesses on our team as we move forward. And then obviously the big question mark is Adrian Peterson. What happens there?
That's the big one. And you know, we got word that he had visited New York, I'm guessing with his agent and maybe another representative or two. But he flew out to talk with the Wilfs, with Rick Spielman, and they met yesterday, apparently. And we got word of that this morning, that they were out there. What is being said, we don't know. And so we'll keep you posted on that. But I don't know what's going to come out of that. I really don't. I mean, anyone's guess is as good as mine, certainly on that, because I think we've all taken taking some angles and taking some shots at what we think is going to happen with Adrian, whether he'll be back in purple or not. I kind of think he's moving on with some of the different things they're throwing out there. His feelers with Asiata and with Stephen Ridley, they're talking with him, and the rumors have it that they are very interested in the New England Patriot running back, who only played six games last year before his ACL, MCL.
Well, Stephen Ridley is basically a precautionary type of thing if Adrian does leave.
Yeah.
He's not going to be one of those premier free agent running backs out there because of the injury problem last year. They have some time. I think if the Vikings are going to trade Adrian Peterson, it's going to be rather soon. It's going to, because these teams are going to be filling up and using most of their cap money. They're not going to have a ton left for a $12.75 million running back. And so if they're going to trade him, it's going to be soon. If not, you can expect Adrian Peterson to remain on the Minnesota Vikings. And that's kind of where I'm sitting right now, especially as things continue to progress. It's not necessarily my feelings. It's my feelings on whether I want him back or not. I think he's going to be back with the Minnesota Vikings next year, especially with the contract signed by LeSean McCoy and Marshawn Lynch over the weekend. He's no longer the highest paid running back in the league. The Vikings have the cap number to they're already absorbing his contract right now. He's already on the roster. So I think Adrian Peterson's going to be back with the Minnesota Vikings.
May very well. Like I said, your guess is as good as mine, and that has as much validity as anything I've come up with as far as trade value. I don't know how any team could absorb the contract, even if it's restructured, quite frankly.
Well, you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are signing a bunch of people. They just had it up on the TV here, the long list. They signed Devon House, I want to say, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, the 35th best free agent on the list of all the free agents this summer. The Minnesota Vikings had inquired about him yesterday. But when you look at teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Oakland Raiders, who have the most cap money of all the teams in the NFL, I think, if there's a team like that where I would rather send him to than a contender. If he's going to force his way out of here, well, then I'm going to force your way onto a team that may not be very good in the AFC, by the way.
I agree. We're going to come back. We will continue on with this. We've got a lot of free agency talk, and there are a lot of things being kicked around right now that are still pending. Apparently Sam Bradford very close to being signed by the Eagles, and in trade for Nick Foles and something else. There would be a draft compensation for that. We have a lot to get to. We will do that right here. Radioactive Sports from Tom Reeds in St. Paul.